61, first and last vote. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he be bold and sacred head for such a one as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Right across the page, 360. I like to sing all three verses and then the chorus at the end of the third verse. There are things as we travel this earth-shifting sands that transcend all the reason of men. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hand. I believe that Christ who was slain on the cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe that it's life with this great mystery. Surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. Well, I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross.
Let us bow. O kind and merciful Father, we want to begin this first day of the week, begin this worship service this morning, Father, by giving honor to whom honor is due. Giving honor to you, Father, as our Heavenly Father, and giving honor to our Lord and our Savior. Thanking you so much, Father, for the old rugged cross that made a difference in our life. We want to continue, Father, to thank you so much for the uncounted blessings of life. Some that, Father, we don't deserve, but because of who you are, and because of your tender mercy, and your kindness, and your meekness, and your patience, you still see fit, Father, to grant us life, to give us this opportunity, Father, on the first day of the week, to offer to each and every living soul another invitation to salvation. We are honored and thankful, Father, that you left for us a way that we can let you know, Father, how much we appreciate you. And we also know, Father, what our life would be like without you, without the old rugged cross, and without the shedding of the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who freed us from the bondage of sin and given us the redemption that we have in him through the shedding of his precious blood. And Father, we want to thank you ever so much for all of the precious souls that we have on our prayer list. We have some here this morning, Father, that might not be feeling well, but you gave them the strength, Father, to be here. And for this we thank you. And there are many, many others, Father, that are faced with day-by-day health challenges and the issues of life. And we thank you, Father, for the assurance of your word, where you tell us that no matter what we're going through, Father, that you can give us strength when we need to be strengthened. You can give us joy, Father, when we're sad. We're ever so grateful and thankful for those blessings, Father. As we enter into this worship service this morning, Lord, we give you the honor and praise with a humble heart, hoping that all that we say this morning, Father, and that we do, will always find favor in thy sight. For it is in Jesus' name we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
To thee, garden of Gethsemane. At this time, we've come to the portion of our worship where we remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the partaking of communion, Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper consists of two emblems, bread which represents his body, and the cup or the fruit of the vine which represents his blood. And I just wanted to briefly read a couple of passages of scripture here. Talks about how the Lord's Supper was instituted by our Lord and Savior himself. I'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, and starting at verse 26 here. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." As we just read, we'll do the same. This is a time of reflection, a time of clear our minds, time to think back on our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. We'll give thanks for the bread and partake, and then we'll do so for the cup or the fruit of the vine following. So at this time, would you bow as we offer thanks for the bread? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we once again bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're ever mindful and thankful for thy Son and our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, for the sacrifice that he made for us, Lord, the body that was offered up for us. And Father, at this time, as we're about to partake of that bread, we pray, Lord, that our minds would reflect back to Christ Jesus and that we might partake of it in a way and in a manner that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind, loving Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this morning, Heavenly Father. Thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to gather together this morning, to partake of this communion. To do so with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father. So thankful for this opportunity to come together in remembrance of that great sacrifice thy Son Jesus made on our behalf, Heavenly Father. Just thankful for this opportunity to clear our minds, to reflect, and to partake of this fruit of the vine that represents thy Son's precious blood, to partake of it in a manner that will be in accordance to thy will, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, bless all those to watch over each and every one of us. For these things we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
do our best to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, but it's possible somebody may have been inadvertently overlooked, maybe in the passing of the bread or the cup. So if you happen to be overlooked, if you would signal to us at this time by raising your hand, and we'll see to it that you're served. I don't see any hands, so we'll move on to another portion of our worship, and that concerns giving. Wanted to read two brief passages here. The first establishes our opportunity to give as part of our biblically commanded worship. And this comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I'll start here in verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And we see there that giving is a part of our worship on the first day of the week. And I just wanted to briefly read a few additional passages of Scripture here. This one coming one book over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and starting at verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so we read there in the Scriptures that although as an act of worship, giving is part of our biblically commanded obligation through worship, we also find that this is truly an opportunity to give, one that we as Christians have been blessed with, and it's important to remember that as we now reflect on that opportunity that we have to give back. So before we do so, let's bow momentarily for prayer, and we'll offer thanks for that opportunity. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we once again bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're ever mindful and thankful for all of the many, many blessings of life that you've given each and every one of us, Father. They're too numerous, Lord, to even begin to count or contemplate, Father. But we know and remember, Lord, that all things flow from thee. And Father, now as we have that opportunity to give back a portion of what you so richly blessed each and every one of us, Father, we pray, Lord, that we would have the right heart, the right attitude, the willful mindset, Father, and that any contribution that's offered and collected would optimally help to further the borders of thy kingdom and continue the work of the church, Father. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
at the Molasses Corner will be number 848. 848. And before the lesson in our scripture reading, that's thing number 835. If you're able, please stand as we sing this song. First and last verse. Oh, how sweet will be to meet the Lord when He comes in glory by and by. What a song of praise will be outpoured when He comes in glory by and by. How sweet when He comes in the sky. What joy.
Scripture for this morning's lesson will be taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and verse 6. Once again, that is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and verse 6. I'll be reading from the King James translation. And it reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And now for our brother Skippy.
Good morning. Surely God has again been good to us. He's spared our lives just one more time to be able to come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this day and thank you for your blessings, this opportunity you've given us to assemble ourselves once again this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, once again, as we go into your word, as we look upon your word, that we can look within ourselves and make sure that we are living and doing things in accordance to your word. And Lord, that at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, the things that I say, Lord. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyday faith for everyday living. In this message today, I want to talk about the importance of applying the faith that God has given you and I to our everyday circumstances. Faith is the essence of the Christian walk. And unless we learn how to apply it in our everyday lives, we will not grow as God desires. Our day-to-day lives are to consist of a walk of faith. And so if we are to have an everyday faith for everyday living, then we need to understand what faith is. A simple definition of faith is basically doing what God says. And so what this definition, it tells us that we know that God's word is accurate, and then we trust him. And then in turn, it leads to obeying him. And so what Hebrews 11 displays, it displays for us is faithfulness, which is action. And so in Hebrews 11 and verse number 1, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so from the beginning of this great chapter, we understand that faith has to do with our hope. Faith has to do with spiritual realities beyond our vision. Faith has to do with building our life with God. Faith has to do with trusting a God who can speak and call the universe into order. Faith involves assurance and conviction. So when your faith is solid, it stands under every situation and support it with assurance. It's being convinced that beyond the shadow of doubt, that God would take charge of the situation. And so simply put, the biblical definition of faith is trusting in something you cannot explicitly prove. And so faith, but then not only that, once you understand what faith is, then you need to understand faith always relates to something yet future. Look at the Bible. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. When you look at the word hope points to the future. In other words, so what does Christianity offer that the world can't? One word, hope. Hope of salvation, hope of a new beginning, hope of freedom, hope of life beyond this struggle, hope of heaven, hope of a God who cares, hope to overcome, hope that transcends difficulties and diseases, hope that defeats persecution and tribulation, hope that gives the strength to stand because we are not alone. Through Christ, we can have hope even when things seem hopeless. When you look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 19, Hebrews 6 and verse 19, it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. And so Christianity offers the world a genuine hope. And we must see tomorrow in light of God's ability and not our own. When you look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, 5 and 6, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So faith will prepare us for the adventure instead of fear, because of our assurance that God can handle all things. But then as we look at this particular text, we need to see also that faith has as its object things not seen. So if you have the substance before you, or if you can see it, then there is no use for faith. Faith is needed for what we can't see and what we can't touch. Faith is fixing our attention on what we cannot see. It's thinking broadly beyond the realms of natural expectation. So the walk of faith and the exercising of our faith is found in being spiritually minded rather than fleshly minded. See, the natural thing to do in many situations is approach it through a fleshly approach. In other words, that approach does not lead to peace. And so it only leads to the stress of the situation. How do you remain a person of faith when everything around you speak unbelief and doubt? We live in a negative world of uncertainties. And this doubt, this unbelief, and this lack of certainty is exhibited and projected in the people that we often find ourselves associated with. And so the question comes, are we influencing them, or are they influencing us? And so that's the question. And so we are to be the salt. We are to be the light of our society, to influence their lives in a positive way and in a meaningful way. And so without faith, the Bible says, it goes on and says, you cannot please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now notice what it says. It didn't say it's difficult to please God without faith. Not it's hard to please God without faith, but it's impossible to please God without faith. Now, very rarely does God use the word impossible. While it says it's impossible to please God without faith, Jesus said that all things are possible to them that believe. So this is a great contrast, because notice as he continues what he says. He says in verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that's why, church, that it's important to apply faith in our daily life. Apply faith at work. Apply faith in the home. Apply faith in the church. And so he says that that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now notice this. These two elements
they seem simple. And so, but we got to understand, yes, we must believe that God is there and that he will reveal himself in to the seeking heart. But also, you know that many times it goes contrary to what many people believe about God. What is that? Says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But notice what he says. Again, he says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I want you to think about this. God is a rewarder. But many people think that God is anything but a rewarder. Many people think that God is an angry God. Many people think that God is a judgmental God. They believe that God is a God who is just waiting for you to make a mistake, for you to cross the line, for you to make an infraction so that he can punish you. But here the Bible says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a God who loves to reward his children. God is a God who loves to bless you. He is a God who is just anxious to give you the good things in life. He is a God who is anxious to reward you, and he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. That's the kind of God that we have. He is a generous God. He is a good God. He is a rewarding God. He is a loving God. He is a caring God. He's a healing God. He's a God who loves to bless you and I. He's a God who loves to keep his promises. God is a great and God is a wonderful and mighty and caring God. But don't take his goodness for granted. So we need to understand that. But then not only that, if we're going to have an everyday faith for everyday living, then we need to have a growing faith. In order to grow from faith to faith, our faith must be exercised on a regular basis. Not just coming here on Sunday, but it needs to be exercised every day of the week. And so we need to look at the many things that we are involved in each day and the problems that we come up against as opportunities to exercise our faith. What kind of faith picture do you have for your life? What kind of faith picture do you have for your family, for your marriage, for your job, for your business? Do you know what God's will is for you in all of these areas? If so, then you can begin to apply faith. God's will is for you to prosper in all of these areas. So the question comes, how do you exercise your faith? I want you to write these down, or if you can think of them, that'll be fine. I think it's in the bulletin. But how do you exercise your faith? Number one, what you need to do is get a faith picture of what God has in store for you. Get a faith picture of what God has in store for you. In other words, to begin to get a faith picture, you get it seeing what God is already doing in your life. Whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in disciplining your children, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in finances, whatever, get a faith picture of what God has in store for you. But then number two, the second thing that you need to do is write down the things you desire or you see God doing. Write it down. What do you desire to see God doing in your life on a daily basis? You'll be surprised. What is God already doing in your life already? You will be surprised of the many things that you write down of what God is doing and is continually do in your life. And when you look at that, you don't have room to complain, but you have room to thank God for what he's already doing in your life. So write it down. But then number three, you got to make a habit of studying the word of God for biblical solutions. In other words, it has the help that you need. It has all the answers that's contained in it. The Bible is about people like you and I who went through the same kind of conflicts, same kind of struggles that you and I go through from day to day. And it is the Word of God that establishes our belief and our faith. We must stand on the word of God. So get a faith picture of what God has in store for you. Write down the things that God is doing in your life. Go to the word of God for biblical solution to see how God helped others through what they went through. And then number four, your faith picture must be put into action. There's no need of just writing down stuff if you don't never put it into action. Look at James. James chapter 2. It tells us. James chapter 2, and when you look at verse 14, he says, "What do it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him?" Look at verse 17. "Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." And then in verse 23, "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." In verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And in verse number 26, "For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." You got to put it into action. And then finally, you have to expect changes to occur. After you firmly established a faith picture of what you desire in your life, then begin to expect a real change to occur. It takes a heart of anticipation and expectation for faith to be fully released. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, Mark 11, 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Do you want to see your marriage change? Begin expecting it. Do you want to see the ability to discipline your children change and become more consistent? begin expecting it. Do you want to see your financial situation change? Begin expecting it. Do you want to see this congregation grow? Begin expecting it. And so as I close, life should be lived like this. Yesterday is a council check. We cannot negotiate it again. Tomorrow is a promissory note. It can't be utilized until it arrives. But today is cash in hand. It must be invested. The psalmist expressed it this way. This is the day which the Lord has made. We got to rejoice and be glad in it. But then look at it this way. Faith is like a muscle. It must be exercised. Faith is like a sunrise. It is fresh every morning. Everyday faith for everyday living. Church, you got to trust God. You got to trust God each and every day. Even when things seem to be going wrong in your life, when it seems like it's just one problem after another, you got to trust God. You got to begin to look at what God has already brought you from and what God has already brought you through. And if God has brought you through in the past, don't you think he can bring you through right now? You got to learn how to trust God. You got to learn how to have faith in God, not just when you come hear a sermon on Sunday, but you got to have a faith in God every day, knowing that God is working in your life and in your situation each and every day. He may not work it out like you want him to work it out, but he's working it out in your life because he's an on-time God. When you see that, man, I'm up against the wall, when you see that, man, there's no way out, God says, if you just trust in me, I can make a way out of no way. That wall that you are back up against, you don't have to worry about that. I can deal with that situation. But you got to learn how to trust him, even when you're going through your situation. Even when you're going through your circumstances, even when you're going through your health issues, trust God. Have an everyday faith for everyday living. If you're here this morning and not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you need to respond to him. God's been good to you. God has spared your life just one more time. He's given you an opportunity to make it right with him. You've heard the word. Believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ and then go down that water of a grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. And then you live faithfully. Faithfully unto death. And then one day you receive a crown of life if you're here and a Christian. Maybe you haven't been having that everyday faith. Now is the time to say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you today. I trust you every day of my life. I'm going to have an everyday faith for everyday living. Come right now. We stand and sing the song of invitation.
I can hear my Savior calling.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together to learn about your word, and with the understanding, maybe to apply it to our daily lives. Pray, Father, for the people who are traveling, that they get to destination safely. Also pray, Father, for the people who are sick, that they get back to their much wanted health. Watch us, guide us, and keep us safe, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.